This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the second hour of Tiki and Tierney. I'm Tiki Barber, flying solo today while BT takes a personal day. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide you a seamless mortgage experience. We had a spirited first hour talking about the Robert Kraft massage parlor situations. We took a bunch of your calls at 855-212-4227. I see some of you guys still on hold there. We'll get back to Robert Kraft at some point. We have a poll out there if you want to interact with us on Twitter. It is at Tiki and Tierney on Twitter. Samter put up a poll. What should the NFL do? Obviously, he referenced some of the past disciplinary actions taken against other owners in the National Football League, other players, etc. Should you do nothing? Should you give a significant fine, say $1 million? Should you take away draft picks, as is being championed by Bart Scott, our local WFAN personality? Or should he be forced to sell the team, a la Jerry Richardson with the Carolina Panthers? Right now, 47% of you are saying that Robert Kraft should be forced to sell the team. Forced to sell the team just because his driver took him a place to get happy. That's just, I mean, that's maybe a little bit extreme, but it is what it is. Well, again, we'll come back to that because it's going to be a story. Maybe if something else develops over the next hour or so, we'll cut in and talk about it. But right now, I want to move on to the story that the NBA, this coming out of the NBA. Obviously, there was a lot of good games last night. The Los Angeles Lakers beat the Rockets after an epic meltdown by the Rockets. The Rockets shot 5 of 17 in the fourth quarter. 5 of 17. They were pathetic. They gave up a 19-point lead to the Lakers, who looked listless at points, but ultimately found a way to come back. Credit to them and LeBron James. There were some really good games. The Golden State Warriors had a big comeback to beat the Sacramento Kings. So it was good basketball last night. But I think the bigger story that came out of yesterday from the NBA was that Adam Silver, a couple of days ago, sent a request to the NBA Players Association to lower the league limit on for age required to be drafted from 19, which it currently is, to 18, which effectively does away with the one-and-done rule. So players do not have to spend a year in college before they can become eligible to be drafted into the NBA. And obviously, I'm a big proponent of this. I think this is smart. I think it allows these elite superstars like Zion Williamson or an R.J. Barrett, those are the two that just jumped to mind because of their success at Duke so far, to not have to waste a year and potentially get hurt. Look, the circumstances of this being released are coincidental, even though I don't believe in coincidence. Right after Zion Williamson hurts his, what I'm going to think was an MCL or an ACL, one of the lateral ligaments on his knee when he slipped when his Nike blew out. But it is what it is. I think it comes at the right time because it's high on our mind, and we see the dangers of some of these kids potentially missing out on paydays. But I think there's a deeper discussion to have here. The commissioner wants this to be implemented by 2020. The only pushback I would have if I was the NBA Players Association is that I would want this to happen sooner. Let's do this in 2020. We don't need to wait until 2022. We can get the logistics figured out much quicker than 3 years from now. But here's what happens. So if you are an elite college player in high school, you'd say you're just a freak. You blossom up to 6'7". You've been playing basketball since you were 8 years old. So you have good handles. You wanted to be a point guard, but now you're tall, so you can shoot. You can do all these things that make you an elite player. You put on the requisite muscle. You've been playing on the AAU circuit. You've been playing you know, big time basketball, and you're well on your way to being an NBA player. I'm not going to say a star. You're on your way to being an NBA player. You just have to get through your college career, take that year in high school career, take that year in college, and then you can get drafted. Well, now, if they do away with this age requirement, and at 18, after you've graduated high school, you can go to the NBA, you're all of a sudden stuck with a choice. And it's an interesting choice, a really interesting choice. You can go right from high school into the NBA. That's option one. And with that option, you're going to get a salary, going to make more money than you've had ever, maybe your parents have ever had over the course of their lifetime, and you're going to feel secure. Now, the problem with that choice is that you go right to an NBA team, a team full of men who have been doing this for 1, 2, 10 years, who care about winning. They don't care about babysitting an 18-year-old. They don't care about when they go on the road and they're hanging out with their boys or in whatever spots they like to hang out at in Chicago, and you can't get into the club because you just graduated high school and you got to sit in your dorm room, or you got to, go try to buy liquor from the grocery store and you can't. They're not going to worry about you. Right? It's not their job to worry about you. And so you could get ostracized, and I think worse, your game could get stunted. The NBA practices, we'll call it practicing. They do practice. They do have a training camp, but it is not anywhere near what happens on a college level. And so let's say you make the team. Let's say you don't make the team. What are your options? You get stuck down in the G League. So I asked Samter, because this is all about player development. Being a star in the NBA is about player development. It's about learning how to shoot. It's about learning how to play within a system, whatever that system may be. It's about knowing how to play the pick and roll and play aggressive and good defense, so you're not a liability. You have to learn all those things. It's not the same game in high school. So I had Sam to rip off a couple of names of coaches in the G League. This is assuming this kid is not a superstar. This isn't the Zion Williams. And this is a kid who says, you know what? I don't want to go to college. I want to go right to the NBA. And so he gets drafted, maybe let's say in the second round, and all of a sudden he's got to play in the G League. And you know what happens? He gets coached by Brian Adams. Could be a good coach. Never heard of him. He could get coached by Gerald Crittenden. Could be a good coach. Never heard of him. How about Noel Golubsky? Again, never heard of him. Who is this guy? I can't even think to say his name. Stan Heath. Ryan Kruger. Brandon Bailey. They could all be really good coaches. They could be. I have no idea. Or they could just be guys holding a position in the G League because it's the G League and they're trying to promote somebody who maybe knows how to be a head coach or he doesn't. Or you could choose option two, which is go to college. And you're going to have your tuition, board, your meals. You're going to have this state-of-the-art existence for a couple of years. And you know who you're going to get coached by? You're going to get coached by Bill Self. You're going to get coached by Roy Williams. You're going to get coached by Coach Calipari. Even Coach K, before he got kicked out, Rick Pitino put a lot of good pros in the NBA. Tom Izzo, another one, puts really good players, especially those 3-and-D guys. Knock down three-pointers, big, strong guys. They have long arms. They can play defense. Tony Bennett, right? People don't think of Tony Bennett as putting great players in the pros. But you know what? Tony Bennett will keep you around for a couple of years, and you'll be so fundamentally sound that you might win Rookie of the Year, Malcolm Brogdon, or you might become a great role player, Joe Harris, for the Nets. All that happens because they were coached so well in college. They made the decision. They were good. I'm sure they were better than any player on their AAU team. They could shoot lights out. They could do all of these things. But they weren't ready to be NBA players, so they went to college to get developed. This is the decision that's being created, and I think it's an awesome one. If the NBA decides to lower the age of eligibility to be drafted from 19 to 18, kids who graduate college will now have a choice. Am I going to go try to get coached by some of the greats to have ever done it, whose jobs have been to try to win championships, but mature young men who have raw skill but don't have all of the details necessary to be great NBA players? That's their job. Yes, they want to win championships. Yes, Coach Cal cares about winning a championship. Yes, Coach K wants to win a championship. Yes, Tony Bennett wants to erase the stink of getting beat by UMBC in round one and ultimately, as great of a coach as he is, win a championship. But more importantly, I think all of those men that I was talking about on the college level, they care about developing young men into great players and to great people. I'm not so sure that you're going to get that in the G League. So, yeah, you might make it if you decide to come out of 18. But the reason they put the one-and-done rule in the first place, do we remember? It's because all these kids would jump out of high school, go right to the NBA, and you know what? They sucked. And so what happened to them? Oh, I got to go play overseas. What happens when you go play overseas and you're a star in high school and you don't make it in the NBA? You end up staying overseas. You end up getting lost overseas. You end up never really making it back into the National Basketball Association. So I love this because it provides an option. Life and sports, business, everything should be about having options. I think ultimately in time, there will be a bunch of kids who say, I'm going right to the NBA. I'm going to forego my opportunity to play in college and get coached by some of the great college coaches of all time. I'm going to go right to the NBA and then give it one or two, probably about 4 or 5 years, so you get some data on a bunch of these kids who've gone right to the NBA, and especially those who haven't made it, because it's competitive to make an NBA roster, right? Yeah, you may sound like the right idea, but there's some grown-ass men that you're trying, whose jobs you're trying to take, who have developed into roles that are specific and important to team success that you're now competing with. You're trying to take their jobs, and you might not be successful. And when you're not successful, you're going to get kicked out of the G League, where you're going to be inferiorly coached relative to what you would have done in college, or you're going to get kicked overseas. I love this because of the option it creates and the option for failure. Too many of these young kids don't think about the option for what happens when they fail, because it's going to happen. Yes, Samter, I see you trying to butt your way in.
No, I'm 100% with you. It's such a great point that people have not been thinking about. But for every Kevin Garnett and Kobe Bryant and Tracy McGrady,
there's a ton of them.
There's a Corleon Young or yeah. Jonathan Bender or a Leon Smith or
right.
a Darius Miles or a Deshaun Stevenson or a Kwame Brown or an Eddie Curry or a DeSagna Diop or a James Lang or yeah. Robert Swift or
again,
Sebastian Telfair.
Some of those names you know because they were so good in high school and it was a no-brainer, right? It's like, it's no chance this kid's not making it in the NBA. He will find his way. Hell, some of these kids that go to college for 3 or 4 years and that are polished and have learned under some of the best get to the NBA and they don't make it. I think there's this warped mindset in our country about sports is just say, just because this kid is the best when he's playing inferior talent, he's going to be the best when he's playing superior talent. It's just not that way.
Well, the other part of it also is you look at the AAF and some of the coaches they have there, Spurrier, Mike Martz,
yes.
Rick Neuheisel. I think that the NBA G League would be smart to bring in some older coaches who have left the game. Bring in a Mark Jackson.
I agree.
Bring in a Van Gundy, a Stan yeah. Van Gundy, or the other Van Gundy. You know what I mean? Like
David Blatt, maybe.
Bring in a David Blatt. Bring in guys who have NBA track records who might be, you know, maybe you're not paying the same kind of money, but it's a multi-billion, $8 billion in revenue they had last year?
Yes.
Very close to the NFL. Like, you're telling me the NBA can't afford to invest heavily into
yes.
their G League?
Yes, they absolutely can. They're paying.
Bring in big coaches that will bring in better players and that will make the G League more of a legitimate minor league.
That's the only way that they can do it. You're right, Sam. They have to make it a legitimate minor league. It's got to be a developmental league, just like college basketball is a developmental league for the NBA. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Do you like Adam Silver's proposal for the lowering of the age limit, and what does it do downstream? I think it has a very interesting effect because a lot of these kids are going to jump. They're going to jump to the NBA, and you know what? They're going to fail. And what they thought was an unbelievable opportunity to make a huge living being a superstar basketball player is not going to come to fruition. 855-212-4227. Give us a call here on TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Do you get frequent heartburn? Like the kind of heartburn where you stash antacids everywhere. You feel like you gotta have those chalky tablets for whenever heartburn might strike. If that's you, you do know that there's an easier way to deal with heartburn. Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, you can actually just not get heartburn in the first place. No more stashing antacids. Try Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone. Here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com, 423 Eastern, 123 Pacific. Here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, I'm Tiki Barber sitting in solo while BT is out. And he would be, I guess, remiss that he's out. We're now talking to Tom Verducci, CBS or MLB network reporter, who's been out in Arizona following the happenings of the soon-to-start MLB season. Tom, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, the weather is well, I'm assuming, out there in Arizona, different than it is here where it's snowing in 20 and then 55 the next day?
Believe it or not, 2 days of rain in Arizona. I didn't even think that was legal around here. We got to do something about that.
Yeah, you definitely do. There's a lot I want to get to talking with you about. Obviously, the Manny Machado deal was the big story earlier in the week. Where Bryce Harper ends up is another one. But I think I want to get deeper because it's the other guys and the other players who are yet to be signed. And then the overall feel of Major League Baseball right now that just has me a little bit concerned, because we're already starting to hear, I know it's only 2 years away, but we got to fix this broken system. We might strike. Do you think that that's a possibility?
Yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, I think you're right that there's things about this CBA and the economic system that need to be addressed, right? And I think they're kind of the conditions that need to have conversations about, like, now, rather than waiting until the end of the CBA, because you're talking about some major changes. The players are definitely unhappy.
Yeah.
Here's one way for a fan to judge it. I think putting a pitch clock into the game, which they're going to try in spring training, is something that's needed for the game. I personally don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think it changes the strategy of the game, but it will help how quickly the game moves.
Yeah.
But the players are in no mood to capitulate on anything, even something that seems as small as that, right?
Yeah, of course.
And they're in a bad mood because free agency ain't what it used to be. They see too many teams that are not, quote-unquote, trying to win, which I have some complaints about that argument. But in any case, the players realize that things have really changed the last 2 or 3 years. And to change it back, they're going to have to change the CBA. And that's another 3 years away. So, like I said, they better start talking now.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the bigger issues, and this is just from a former player standpoint and trying to empathize with players in a different sport, these guys are under control for so long. It's like 3 years on the rookie deal, and then they got 3 years of arbitration. So, I mean, they're 6 years in. That's from the point that they get up, not from the point that they get drafted. 6 years before they can really make some money, and then they believe that, man, I turn into a superstar, right? I'm Bryce Harper. I'm young, and I'm virile, and I can do all these great things, but, you know, you're holding me hostage, right? And if he's getting held hostage, what about all these other guys? It feels like the owners, from a player standpoint, have too much control. Is that in truth, or is that just a perception from a player standpoint?
No, I think there's some truth to that, because in the old days, you didn't mind, if you were a player, you didn't mind that control, because when you got to be a free agent, that was the pot at the end of the rainbow, right? You were hitting jackpot as a free agent. Now what's happened is they still have that control, but
yes,
Now free agency ain't what it used to be.
Yeah.
The way teams now look at ages and the aging curve, man, if you're 33 and over now, baseball just really doesn't want you, at least as an everyday player, or especially to commit multi-years of guaranteed money to players in their mid-30s.
Yeah.
So with that gone away, now you're talking about players getting squeezed on the front end of their careers and the back end of their careers.
That's exactly right.
What needs to happen, Tiki, they need to find a way to get these players more money in the prime years of their career, whether that's earlier free agency, less arbitration years, whatever the system needs, it needs something to get, you know, those guys in the 21 to 27 range their true market value.
Yeah, no, that sounds right. And then they'd feel happy. You know, they feel like they're not playing for league minimum, like an Aaron Judge, even though he's an icon and he's as huge a part of the Yankees as any part of the Yankees right now. Tom Verducci, MLB Network insider and reporter, joining us here on Tiki and Tierney. And let me jump to the question that you hit just barely briefly about teams not trying. You look at the Rays, the Pirates, the Orioles, the Marlins. They're consistently in the bottom of the league in payroll. How can you argue that they're, quote, trying to win a championship?
Well, I think here's the argument. I mean, what is the definition of trying to win, right? Mm-hmm. If the definition of trying to win means you throw every single resource into one every year, every season, you know, that you just can't do that. That's not a smart way of going about business.
Yeah.
There are different ways to win championships. I agree that you do have to make sure teams are not just pocketing revenue-sharing money. But, you know, last year the players filed formal complaints on four teams that they were doing exactly that, that they weren't taking revenue-sharing money and putting it towards payroll.
Mm-hmm.
One of those teams was Oakland, which was a playoff team that won 97 games. Another team was Tampa Bay. They won 90 games.
Yeah, you're right.
Another team was the Pirates, and they were in it, you know, at the trading deadline. They tried to add on with Chris Archer to try to get a wild card berth. And the Marlins, we all know, they're definitely retooling here. They were the fourth team. So, you know, I think the idea that there's too many teams not trying to win has been extremely overblown. I'm not saying there's not any truth to it.
Yeah.
But you tell me, look at the National League, Tiki, and you tell me how many teams are not trying or even have a chance to win in terms of postseason berth. I'll give you the Marlins, maybe, you know, the Pirates, but they're a pretty good team, so I don't know. It's a pretty deep league.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think this could be not be solved, but it just feels like there are certain teams that believe in their farm system, right? And then they also believe, like Tampa Bay, who you mentioned, that are saying, you know what, we might be able to game this from the regular way of winning, right? We have a young, you know, an innovative, analytical-based process. We believe we can do this unconventionally. And while they're not, I don't want to say experimenting because that just makes it seem like it's reckless, but they're trying different things, and it worked. They won 90 games. You look at their roster, like, they have one starting pitcher, right? Maybe, right? And they're going to win 90 games. How is that possible? But in a way, it's a success story, right? And so they're experimenting with winning, but it's so unconventional to the players that it feels foreign to them.
Yeah, and that's not a model anybody wants to copy, and it's not a sustainable model. You know, it's hard for them to really sustain that beyond like a 2 or 3 year window when everything hits. Listen, for a lot of years, I was saying the worst place to be as a team is the middle of the road, where you're not really going for it and you're not really rebuilding, right?
Yeah.
You're crossing your fingers that everything breaks perfectly and somehow you can win 90 games. That's a bad way to live. You know, the White Sox were in that lane for a really long time until they finally gave up and said, we need to rebuild. One solution might be to add another postseason team, another wild card team, because if you have a shot of winning, go to the postseason with, say, 86 or 87 wins, now you're bringing a few more teams into the mix. And maybe when you get to July, you don't have these teams dumping players. And maybe August and September is a little more interesting if you have more teams in the mix. I know it sort of lowers the bar for postseason qualification, but I think it brings more. The upside is you bring more teams in, and maybe they start to spend a little more money. If they think they're in the middle, you know, maybe that bar to compete is a little lower. It brings more teams in terms of being competitive with finances and adding players during the season.
Interesting. Tom Verducci, MLB Network reporter, insider here, joining us on Tiki and Tierney. Just a couple more quick questions for you. I know you were with the Dodgers today, and look, they retooled a little bit. They moved out Puig and Kemp, but Clayton Kershaw's already taken some time off. And you know what's going on with Kershaw? It felt like he was the pitcher of this generation, but now there's been there's a little bit ups and downs with him. What's going on with the Dodgers?
Yeah, that was fascinating because he put in a lot of work in the offseason making some mechanical tweaks. He saw some specialists to look at his body. I mean, he put in a lot of work. His whole goal was to try to regain some of that velocity that he lost. I was in camp the other day when he threw his first live BP. I mean, first time out, right? It's not going to be great. Well, he's such a competitor. He was so upset with that. He actually went down to the bullpen to throw some more. And then 2 days later, he threw a bullpen, and he was like, this just doesn't feel right at all, just physically. to me, that's not a really good sign at all. You trained hard. You should be in your best shape at the start of camp. And after two throwing sessions off a mound, you don't feel good. So they're doing the right thing. They're backing him off. He's going to take a couple of days off. But for a guy who's lost velocity, had some issues over the years, they say it's not his back, so they're not worried about that.
Yeah.
I think you really have to be concerned. I know it's super early. There's plenty of time to get ready for spring training. But as I said, out of the gate, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Last one for you, and then it's the obligatory Bryce Harper question. The White Sox say that we think that they're out. The Nationals have said they've already filled out their roster. Phillies, even though he hates the Phillies? What's up with Bryce Harper?
Yeah, I actually think this could go on for much longer. I really do. I don't think we're a matter of days away because I think Scott Boras, Bryce Harper want to make sure it's above $300 million. And probably over the 325 that Stanton got. Now, I think the Phillies may be able to get there, but I think like we saw with the Padres and White Sox on Machado, you're going to need a second team if you want full retail price. And to me, it has to be the Giants at this point. You know, and so far, I don't know if the Giants would get to that level.
Yeah. But would the Giants go there with Bochy announcing that he's going to retire? It's not like it's a rebuild, but there's a lot of moving parts with the Giants in the next couple of years.
100% agree. I don't think it's something that, you know, maybe makes sense in terms of the architecture of their roster. But in terms of that market, Tiki, they need to sell out that park. They need to keep the people coming back. And listen, they hit a home run with Barry Bonds, and they paid, you know, prime dollars to get him there. It worked out great. Star player like Harper, they could make the case that, you know, he can almost pay for himself. I say almost. they draw well anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't rule them out. I still think the Phillies will be the high bidder. I still expect Philly to get them. But I don't feel like we've reached the end game yet, Tiki. Crazy as that sounds, it may be another week or two before we see this guy in a uniform.
That is crazy. He will be rusty, as we all know, just like these guys are. Tom Verducci, we appreciate you. Good content. I really appreciate you joining me, hopping on. Have a great weekend. Hope the weather is non-rainy out there in Arizona for you for the rest of your time. Be good,
you
man.
You got it, man. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Likewise. Have a good one. Tiger Woods making a little bit of a run here at the World Golf Classic in Mexico. He's under at 5-under right now. Jay Berman's going to give us an update, but on the other side, though, is it time that we fix the Rooney Rule? Mr. Rooney of the Steelers has an interesting take on it. Inbounds and Out of Bounds is next. Jay Berman with the update. Join CBS on the road to the Final Four with great NCAA basketball this weekend, Saturday at 1:30 Eastern, 10:30 Pacific, as Auburn heads to Lexington to take on 4th-ranked Kentucky, followed by number 16 Florida State versus 8th-ranked North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Then on Sunday, Villanova tips off against Xavier at 1:30 Eastern, 10:30 Pacific, and the weekend concludes with 7th-ranked Michigan hosting number 10 Michigan State. Can you feel the madness in the air? Tiki Barber here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Inbounds and Out of Bounds is coming up in just a brief moment. Samter is going to help me go through this, but in the next hour, we're going to talk to Michael Lee. There's a lot of NBA talk to get to. Obviously, some good games last night, and I guess not fallout, but we heard BT go off yesterday on LeBron James and his activation comments, turn it on. He actually played pretty well last night, scoring 29 points in that comeback win against the Rockets. But is this complacency with some of these stars, is that a problem for the league? We'll get to that, and we'll also continue to talk about the one-and-done rule and the potential ending of that rule. Now, Michael Samter, when I host solo, gets a chance to participate in a formal way by being the host of Inbounds and Out of Bounds. Are you ready to be the host of Inbounds and Out of Bounds, Samter?
I've never been more ready for anything in my life.
Wow, that sounded really convincing.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Tiki and Samter, I like that better.
Yeah.
It's got a better ring to it. Not too many T's, I guess.
T and S. T.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Well, S comes S-T. After. Or, yeah,
S comes before.
Before T.
U-R-S-T.
Yeah, I've never been good at the alphabet. Anyway, let's get to number one. The Bengals and new head coach Zach Taylor.
Smack him, please.
He can't reach.
Just hit him across the head.
Yeah, like, good luck with that.
Throw something at him.
Good luck with that. The Bengals and new head coach Zach Taylor have finally found their defensive coordinator after a nearly month-long search that saw various candidates turn down the opportunity, including Florida Gators defensive coordinator Todd Grantham, mm-hmm. who decided to stay in college instead of go to the NFL.
Wow.
When asked if he was surprised by the leaked information circulating through the media, the 35-year-old Taylor admitted, quote, "I certainly learned a lot about agendas throughout this whole thing." Inbounds, out of bounds. Zach Taylor is in over his head and will not last 3 years in Cincy.
That's a good question, Sam Durr. But reading it to the letter, I'm going to say out of bounds. I think he is in over his head, as all young first-time head coaches are. It's just so much that you have to learn. Not only are you trying to implement and run an offense and build a staff, you also have to be aware of what's your training table going to look like? What time are you guys going to eat? When are you going to have your first meeting? When are you going to have the first practice? What are you going to do in between practices? You got to get the lift in. You got to do all of these things logistically. What hotels do you want to stay at? When you get on the road, what is that going to look like? It's a lot of planning. It's being the CEO of a pretty big company, even though he's not really the CEO, but the player side of it, he is. But why I'm saying out of bounds is I do think he will last more than 3 years. Now, they have some moving parts in Cincinnati right now. Andy Dalton is in the twilight of his contract, which may mean in the twilight of his career in Cincinnati. A.J. Green has had a lot of injury issues, even though he had a really good year last season. They got to get their defense back on par to compete in the AFC North. And I think he could be the guy to do so. It's troubling that it took him so long to find a defensive coordinator. It's one of the most important positions on any team, especially when you have an offensive guy as your head coach. But I'm going to say out of bounds. I think he does last more than 3 years.
Are you in or are you out?
One thing about Mike Brown is he's very loyal.
That's exactly right.
The Rooney Rule was implemented by the NFL in 2003 to ensure that minority coaches would get their opportunity to interview for head coaching positions. While there are some success stories, most notably Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, who wasn't expected to get that job but blew the interview away, only one of the 15 coaching openings the past 2 years has gone to a minority coach, Brian Flores in Miami. And the league has seen minority head coaches drop from 8 in 2017 to just 4 in 2019. Hugh Jackson, Marvin Lewis, Todd Bowles, Vance Joseph was the other one in Denver that I forgot as well. Now, Art Rooney has told The Athletic, quote, "I'm not going to sit here and accuse anybody of racism, but the facts are what they are. The real question is, how do we make sure that there are people coming into the pipeline that have the opportunity to move up into these positions?" Inbounds, out of bounds. The NFL should expand the Rooney Rule or implement a Rooney Rule type situation for assistant coaching hires.
I think this is inbounds, 100% inbounds, because there's very few head coaches who are proactively creating minority coordinator positions. The one that has done so, and maybe this goes back to his days at Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University, Bruce Arians, when he became the first white player to room with a black player who happened to be my father, James Barber. But Bruce Arians hired three minority coordinators: Todd Bowles as his defensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich as his offensive coordinator, and Keith Armstrong as his special teams coordinator. If these guys, if minorities are not put in positions and given the opportunity to impress minorities who are predominantly, there's one minority, right, Shad Khan, they're predominantly Caucasian, and show them that, yes, I am an African-American or Hispanic-American or whatever, I'm a minority, and I still have ability to lead. You have to show that. You have to demonstrate it. You can't just say it. You can't just assume it. Owners have to see it. And if they're not given positions of authority as coordinators, African-Americans and other minorities are never going to ascend to head coaching positions. There used to be a process. You had to come in as a quality control guy, then you move up to a position coach, and eventually you'd become, you know, an assistant to a coordinator position, and maybe you'd get that coordinator position, and then you jump into the head coaching pool, so to speak, and you do the rounds. It's not that way anymore. Now you get your way by being trendy, and trendy sucks when it comes to the Rindy Rule, because blacks and other minorities are not given the opportunity to be in trendy-type positions. So inbounds, Samter, definitely inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
I think it's our first ever definitely inbounds. Mm-hmm. This is called inbounds out of bounds, not definitely in or definitely out.
Well, I'm crazy in inbounds then.
Okay, well, you're crazy. Number three, last night, the Rockets fell to the Lakers 111-106. And after the game, James Harden complained about referee Scott Foster.
I never really talk about officiating or anything like that, but just rude and arrogant. I mean, you aren't able to talk to him throughout the course of a game. And it's like, how do you do that relationship with officials? It's pretty sad.
You know, Chris had similar comments about Foster last year.
I mean, that's another thing. Last year in the postseason, it's lingering. And it's something that has to be looked at, for sure.
You feel like there is a personal issue?
Yeah, for sure. For sure it's personal. For sure. Like, I don't think he should be able to even, you know, officiate our games anymore, honestly.
As the reporter noted, Chris Paul complained about him last year, and Chris Paul did again last night.
I don't know what else to do. You know what I mean? And met with the league with him before and all this stuff. I don't know what else to do. You know what I mean? Just keep playing. I don't know what else to do.
Obviously, many players have complained about the reffing around the NBA over the past few seasons, but little has been done to correct the issues, other than maybe having that NFL official ref account that seems to get things wrong more often than not. Inbounds, out of bounds. The NBA must completely revamp how refs officiate games.
Must is a strong word, Santer, and you put it in all bold, so it's what I'm focusing on. So I'm going to say out of bounds, even though I understand the plight of James Harden and Chris Paul here, both of whom fouled out in the fourth period. A couple of offensive fouls, some of them questionable against them. So I get their ire, and it's justified, to be honest with you, because it didn't feel like it was officiated fairly in this epic comeback. Or epic collapse, however you want to look at it, from the Houston Rockets standpoint. But I don't think the league's responsibility is to penalize referees for having bad relationships with the players. Right? This is an interpersonal thing. And I can't blanketly say that just because Scott Foster, who has historically been graded as one of the worst referees in the NBA, needs to, because of him, they need to change the system. So out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
But of course, there's referees across the league that players have complained about, not just Scott Foster.
True.
So I think it's a larger issue, and we'll see what happens. Last one, the San Antonio Spurs travel to Toronto tonight to take on the Raptors in DeMar DeRozan's first game back in his former city. DeRozan spent 9 years above the border and averaged over 20 points a game for the Raptors before the shocking trade that swapped him and Kawhi Leonard. The Raptors are second in the East after finishing first last year, while the Spurs are tied for sixth in the West after finishing seventh last year. In or out, the trade has worked out better than expected for both the Raptors and the Spurs.
It's certainly worked out well for the Toronto Raptors, who are currently second in the East. They've ripped off 6 wins in a row. Kawhi Leonard has been spectacular, 27 points a game, 7 rebounds. You see his stats up there. And I'm going to say inbounds to this, Samter, because San Antonio, who was a team that we thought would sink below that eighth and last postseason spot, has been hanging on. And they have a weird mix of a team. There's a lot of aged vets. There's some young players as well. But DeMar DeRozan has become a staple in this lineup, and because I'm a great contributor. 21-6-6, he's been averaging over the season so far. San Antonio is not the San Antonio of old. They have trouble winning on the road, but they do take care of business when they're supposed to take care of business against teams that they're supposed to win and at home. So I think this has worked out, even though if you're going to talk about a winner in this, it's easily the Toronto Raptors. Inbounds.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, coming up next on the other side of our break, Michael Lee, who's an NBA writer for The Athletic, will join us, and he'll hit on a couple of things. The NBA, either on purpose or just because of the growth, financial growth of the league, have severely, not severely, that's the wrong word, but I gotta say this severely. I'm gonna say severely empowered their players. They have the control. They often determine the makeups of teams. Is that a good thing for the NBA or is it a bad thing for the NBA? We're also going to continue to talk about LeBron. LeBron feels like he can just turn it on whenever he wants. But should we want players to just turn it on when it matters? Or should they be playing hard all the time? Michael Lee joins us next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.